Hello, everybody. So welcome to the April book study call. So this month we read and studied Everything is Figure Outable. And so today we're going to be discussing it together and going through the book. So just as you guys come in, I am going to change my name. I am not Corinne Crabtree. There is just one Corinne Crabtree in the world. Change my name. I am Coach Yesenia. Write my name. Go ahead and say hi in the chat. And thank you guys for coming in and joining us. So looking forward to this. So we're actually switching things up a little bit. We want to make this more of a like true book club feel, you know, like a true book club, like discussing the book together and asking questions around it, applying it to our weight loss and everything. So we're going to switch things up a little bit. Hello, everybody. So yeah, you guys are coming in from all over the place. I'm coming at you from Georgia. And I know we have several Georgia No BS women. So give me a shout out if you're near me. But yeah, we're going to go ahead and jump right in. We read and studied Everything is Figure Outable. I know several of you guys did the study guide. Several of you guys have probably done reading the book, whether you read the book or not, like you're welcome. And we're just going to be like discussing the main parts of the book. I do know because I posted in the Facebook group a few days ago, and next time I'll give you guys a little bit more heads up. Like I said, this is new. We are, this is like a new process that we're doing. But I did, so in the future, keep an eye out for a post about a week before the call. A week before the end of the month, I'll be posting in the No BS Book Study Facebook group and just seeing like who wants to come on and discuss the book as a small group, and just talk about the book, talk about what you liked, your top takeaways, like how it applies to our weight loss and everything. I know for this one, I think there's at least one person who wanted to come up and discuss the book, and we'll get a few more people too. So I believe, let me pull up my notes. So Alexandra, I know you said you wanted to come up and discuss the book. So let me know if you're here and raise your hand if that's you. And anybody else, it's okay if you didn't do the study guide, you can still come up and discuss. If you at least read like, you know, half of the book or most of the book, if there's anything that you want to like ask around the book or discuss, you can totally come up. Okay, so I'm seeing it says Steve, and I'm seeing you in the chat. So is that really Steve, or I know sometimes we use like other Zoom accounts, or like it doesn't have the right name. Okay, so I'm seeing you say, like, that's me. So is it Alexandra or is it somebody else? Okay, Julia, so Atomic Habits is the book that we're starting for May. So we'll be discussing that at the end of the month. Okay, so that is you, Alexandra. Okay, just wanted to double check. So I don't think I've ever seen a Steve in No BS. Okay, Ruby, this is not the new member welcome. So I believe that's happening. I know that's usually been happening on the first, but this is the book study call. But welcome anyways. Okay, let me go ahead and bring up Alexandra. If you also would like to come up and discuss the book, just go ahead and raise your hand. I have questions ready for us. So you don't have to like come up with anything. I have several discussion questions for us that we can just like all discuss together and just have a chat. Like, I just want it to be like a casual, fun chat discussion around the book and what we got from it, and just have it feel like more of a true book club. There you go. So any newbies that are on here, the new member welcome call is at 1 p.m. Eastern. It's in a couple hours. Awesome. Thank you guys so much for that. Okay, so let me go ahead and bring up Alexandra. Hold on. Promote to panelist. I think I hit the wrong button. Hold on. Okay, there we go. And then Joni and Michelle, I'm going to bring you up. And don't worry, you guys, because I've got us all set and ready to go. I've got questions for us. It's going to be so fun. This takes me back to like my teacher days. I used to be a middle school teacher. That's actually what I went to school for. So go ahead and meet yourself for a hot minute while I see if anybody else wants to come in. Hello, everybody. The book is Everything is Figureoutable. So it's this one. It's this one. Okay. Anybody else? Okay, Lynn. Awesome. So I think if we have like a handful of people, that would be perfect. So now we've got 4 no BS women up here. So last call for anybody else who would like to come up and just discuss the book. And what I love about this call is it's such a like a, if you've never been up before, like it's just casual. You're not the only one. It's not as scary, I think. So anybody else who would like to come up, go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, I think that's going to be it. So this is a great little group here. All right, so here's what we're going to do. So I want us to just go around and just let's just do like give your name and give us like a 1 minute or less of like just a little bit about yourself. It could be like where you're from, how long you've been in OBS, anything like that. So just 1 minute or less, and we will start with Alexandra. So welcome.
Hello, I'm Alexandra. I live in Anchorage, Alaska. So it's 7 a.m. here. And I am married. I have a 4-year-old son. And I joined in the very beginning of February after I took the free course. And I've just been like really diving into everything. And I have been going through Corinne's list of books. And and so I kind of read this one, not knowing it was the book study one, or I listen to it on Audible when I'm walking. So, and I just really liked this one. So.
Awesome. Well, thank you. All right, Joni.
Hi, I'm Joni. I am a portrait photographer and I absolutely love this book. It was my third time reading it. I got it from Corinne's favorites list a while back. I joined NoBS last June.
Gotcha. Welcome. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you.
All right, Lynn, we'd love to hear from you next.
There we go. Hi, my name is Lynn Harden, and I am an elementary school principal in Southern California. And I joined NoBS it must be the first part of April. Yeah, when she opened it up.
Oh, okay.
So I'm brand new and just loving it, every part of it. And enjoyed the book, enjoyed it a lot. I'm a fan of hers anyway. Yeah. So I'm just really grateful to be here.
Awesome, we're happy to have you. Okay, and then Michelle. I don't think we can see you. Let me see. Do you want to turn on your video? I think you can. I don't think you're muted. But just go ahead and introduce yourself if you'd like. Michelle, can you see or hear us?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you. It's a little choppy though.
Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Uh-oh. Yeah, maybe I think her connection isn't great. So hopefully, if you come back, Michelle, maybe you can move to a better spot or. That's okay. We'll move on and hopefully your connection gets better. Okay. So I'd love to just do like a quick icebreaker. Does anybody here already know each other by chance? No? Awesome. Okay. So I'd love to do like just a quick little icebreaker just so we can like get to know each other really quick. And the first icebreaker, oh, hey, Michelle, can you, is your connection better now? I think you're muted.
Yeah, I'm working on it. I'll get there.
Okay, you let us know when you're ready to go.
I will, thanks.
Okay. Okay, so first icebreaker. If you were famous, what would it be for? So let's just go in the same order. So Alexandra, if you were famous, what would it be for?
Maybe for quilting.
Quilting. Oh, that's cool. So what do you like to quilt?
Well, this is why I'll never be famous, because anything easy. And then I don't necessarily have to finish.
Awesome. What about you, Joni?
I would be a famous photographer.
What kind of photographer?
Or public speaker. Yeah. Mostly portraits. I'm just learning, but I'm starting a portrait photography business, so we'll see how it goes.
Cool. What about you, Lynn? If you were famous, what would it be for?
I would be famous for empowering teachers to be their best.
Ooh, I love that. I love that. What do you love about being a principal?
That I get to empower teachers to be their best, because they're the front. It, to me, it's all about the kids, and they're the front line with the kids. So I want them to be in the best shape possible. I want them to be happy and to have balance in their works and their work and life, so they can show up for the best. Happy teachers are the best teachers.
I agree. I 100% agree. All right, Michelle, how are you doing?
Okay, can you guys hear me now?
Yeah, you're good. Yay! To go. Yay!
Everything is figureoutable, girls.
Yes,
everything. Look at that. So I would be the most famous bariatric nutritional coach. And that would be for people who have had who've had bariatric surgeries and have regained their weight, or have thought about having a bariatric procedure and are looking for alternatives. So that's what I just love about No BS, is it's for all the women. Yeah. And I really feel a great community here. And I just, you know, I love being a part of the group. And the introduction is I've only been with you all 60 days, or I'm finishing up my 60 days. So
that's awesome.
So thanks for being patient with me this morning.
Yeah, no problem. I'm glad we could get you up here.
Yeah, okay. Thanks.
We'll do this one quicker. One more icebreaker. The number one place you'd love to travel, or like one thing that you'd love to do in your lifetime. Alexandra, you go.
My whole family went on a trip to Africa, and I wasn't able to go with them. And I really wish I had, and I hope that I can go one day.
That's a good one. How about you, Joni?
Reykjavik, Iceland.
Ooh.
Never been, but would love to go.
What about you, Lynn?
Egypt, and I'm going summer 2022 with Teaching with Love. So I'm nervous, but excited.
Oh, I love that. What about you, Michelle?
Well, I don't know if you all can see me, but I'm in my favorite place, Scottsdale, Arizona. So I'm from Dallas, and we try to get up here a couple of times, you know, every other year. And so that's where I am right now, and it is my favorite place on earth.
Very cool. I love that. Awesome. Okay. So you guys all said that like you really loved the book. It really resonated with you. I'd love to hear like, what was your like top thing that you got from the book? What do you think, Alexandra?
I guess just that everything is figureoutable. It's especially at the beginning where she's talking about her relationship with her mom and seeing her mom figure all these things out. And I guess it's kind of like the way I thought about my mom was that she could figure anything out, but I never really put it into words, or like my mom never put it into words that like everything is figureoutable. It just like, that was just like a light bulb moment. It's like she figured everything out. And then I realized, and I think she realizes too, like when you grow up, you're like, oh, well, my mom was also afraid and like was figuring this out because she had to, you know, and but I don't know. It was just like something I really resonated with, and just having that as a like motto, I guess it was really neat.
Yeah. You guys feel free to jump in like too. What did you guys love about the book?
The idea that
Oh, go ahead.
I loved the knowing how many people have imposter syndrome, especially really famous people. That was really profound to me.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely. I think sometimes we think famous people are like, you know, somebody who's achieved something really incredible. They're different somehow, but they're not. They still go through all the same kind of mental stuff, you know, and some of them have even figured it out and some of them haven't. I've noticed that too. So what were you going to say, Lynn?
Well, my favorite part, that basic theme of how we as human beings are unconscious, just going through the motions day after day after day. And that's certainly part of what I've experienced, especially when stressed or fatigued, and just how unconscious. And some of the things that we take, we time suck with, are those dopamine hits. I'm right in the part in the course where Corinne talks about that. The dopamine and how in what we do with our activities and take up all our time, and a lot of our actions are just about seeking that dopamine. And I really resonated with the lack of time, because that's something that educators say all the time. I just don't have enough time. I just don't have enough time. And for me, what's emerging is because it's figure outable, the how to manage the time. There will be a solution that emerges from that. But it takes the willingness to take the action and know, first recognize that I'm unconscious, and then the willingness to be, well, I want to be conscious.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you guys think?
Conscious is a huge point for, I think, all of us, to stay out of that comfort zone of just what your mind thinks is easy. Just because it's easy doesn't mean it's your best path. And so for me, the refuse to be refused was the part of the book that I think, you know, for much of my life I have done, but I didn't know that that's what it was called. I thought it was just called like resiliency, or, you know, refusing to give up. But, you know, one of the questions was, is list the times that you've done that. And I'm like, wow, I learn more when I have to try it again, when I have to take a different approach. I appreciate whatever the challenge was. And I really, you know, I've really resonated with the refuse to be refused. I think that may be like that may get on a wall somewhere at home, because it's just, it's very powerful. And I think as women, we can be refused more so in between our ears than any place else, right? And so when you refuse there, then you're going to have, you're going to be able to open doors for yourself that no one had closed for you but yourself.
Yeah. I love that. I love what you said, like, oh, just because like I didn't, like, you know, like having to do it again, it's not necessarily like a bad thing. Like I feel like it builds grit, and that's valuable, you know.
Well, you learn more too, right? I mean, it's just like, I mean, I think about, you know, if, and again, this is just an analogy, but like if the parents buy the first car versus the kid earning the money for the first car. Like you appreciate the lessons that you've learned, the falls that you've made, and more so the self-preservation to stand back up and take the steps again. You may have to take them in a different direction, and more likely you should, but just being able to appreciate yourself enough not to shut that door, just to keep at it and take it from different angles. I thought that one to me just like really sunk in. And then, so I'm going to tell you guys something really quick, because it was, everything is figure outable. So, you know, we're doing the basics 2.0 starting, and Corinne wanted us to show where we're getting prepped, right?
Yeah.
So that, okay. And we're supposed to take pictures for tomorrow. So I'm in Arizona. I didn't have a printer. I'm like, oh, I want to participate. Like, how do you do this? And the first thing in my brain was, Michelle, everything is figure outable. And it took about three different approaches but I finally found a UPS store that would print it off for me and have it ready in the time that I needed, given the schedule. And so like all my stuff is right there.
Nice.
So, you know, I won't be home until Tuesday, but I'm stoked because like I'm ready. Mm-hmm. And it was just, again, it was this book reminding me, you know what, everything is figure outable. So I'm on track. I'm ready to go. And I've never heard of this author before, but I am excited to look into a little bit more of her work.
Yeah. That even makes me think of like, you know, the line of work that Lynn does, like how important that we could like pass this on to our kids and students, that skill of like, or that mindset of like everything is figure outable, you know? We teach them like a lot of like the academic things, and that's important, but even this life skill of just figuring things out and sticking with things, how important is that? So yeah. What about you guys, Joni and Alexandra? What else did you love about the book?
Well, it was when Michelle was talking about the refuse to be refused. I, you know, when I, of course I was trying to, when I was reading the book, like thinking about it with weight loss, although I think it goes like way beyond that for sure. But thinking about all the times I've quit before, you know, quit programs before or quit on myself or whatever, and just, and I think we're all here because we're saying like, this is different and I'm not going to be refused this time. Like I'm going to meet my goal or keep going to strive to get it, you know? And I guess I really liked that part of the book, and that it reminded me when Michelle said that, just saying this is, no, I'm not going to quit on myself one more time and not take the easy way. And because sometimes I think you do hear no, or you get refused and it's like, oh, well, yeah, I guess it's just another thing that didn't work or whatever. And, but it doesn't have to be like that. And so I really like that. Even if it doesn't always work out, you know, like she did get that lease, you know, when she was doing the studio lease, she did get it. But even if it didn't work out, she was like already making another plan and figuring it out and keep, and, you know, going to keep going with it. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go ahead, Joni. Were you going to say something?
I was going to say, I also love the story when she's talking about falling in the, with the motorcycle in Italy. And oh, she, yeah, when she gets back on it right away, I'm like, I wouldn't have done that. But you know, maybe I need to be more the kind of person that would do that.
Yeah.
Ow. Yeah.
My favorite story was probably the airport one. Oh my gosh, like my stress level was high reading that. Like, you're gonna miss the plane. Like, this was not big.
This is it. This is, you're done.
Yeah, but that was, oh my gosh, that was my favorite story. And then, of course, like how like she tied it back to like, no, like, you know, how they never got to spend time together and they were finally gonna make this trip happen. And kind of like, if they didn't make the plane, like, their whole relationship was just like, this is it, it's the end. Like, and then it still happened. Like, you figured it out even then. Like, that was my favorite. She's like running with all the luggage and stuff, like barely. But I think what I loved about the book, like, I think probably the top thing I got from it was just like, I feel like everything is figure outable. Because a lot of times we talk about like, oh, like coming up with a new thought, like a, like, you know, setting a new intentional thought versus like the old shitties, right? And sometimes the thoughts that we reach for are like too pie in the sky, too like unicorn, too like not believable. Like, it sounds great, but it doesn't really land. It's just too much, right? For where you are right now. But I feel like the thought, everything is figure outable, like, it's such a good, like, it is a believable thought. It's not too pie in the sky or unicorny. Like, it's, yeah, it's just, maybe it is possible. Maybe it is figure outable. Maybe I can do it. Like, it's just enough to get you to that, like, possibility belief, like, oh, maybe I, like, I feel like that helped me with, like, even, I know a lot of us here, like, there's that old shitty voice in the background, like, maybe you can't lose weight, like, maybe you're broken, maybe, like, you're just never gonna get there, like, I know you've lost 15 pounds, but, like, you know, you have 50 more, and, like, it's gonna be, or, like, I've never been here before, I've never, like, you start to self, like, all of that bullshit, and it's, like, I feel like this, that everything is figure outable. Like, I feel like that, I applied that to like my belief about my weight loss. Like, oh, maybe it is figure outable. Like, it just gets me into that realm of possibility, you know, like maybe it could happen.
Well, and to your point there, one of the exercises is, you know, writing down what is that thing you're trying to figure out, what's the big thing you're trying to figure out, and the things that can get in your way, and how do you plan around those. And I think that for me, that was one of the most powerful exercises, because people, you know, we spend a lot of energy pontificating and worrying and struggling. And there's a misnomer that that kind of energy is activity, but it's not. Putting it down, looking at what the barriers could be and what you can do to get around those, that's true action. And her just, you know, we do that with our planners, you know, that we do that every day with our planners is, if this gets in the way, what might this be? Or what can I do better tomorrow? Brooke has, No BS has done a fantastic job of getting that into the process. But until you hear it from, you know, different places, do you think, oh, it's not just about weight loss? Now, for me, this is critical for weight loss, because you're talking about the 15 pounds. For me, it's just setting a doable plan and actually doing it. The planning and adhering to it is my thing to figure out. And it's, you know, it's a challenge, but I know it's figure outable, and I trust myself enough to just keep trying and keep trying.
Yeah. I love that. How did the rest of you guys kind of apply this to your weight loss?
I'm not quite sure that what we're all talking, the big thing for me was the fear part. Because I've been coached by Corinne on another course, and my reoccurring thought is, I'm 65 and I'm going to retire in June. And my reoccurring thought is, I'm too old for weight loss. I mean, look at everybody else my age, you know? I mean, why not just screw it? Just go with it, you know? And I'm in the process of starting, I'm in process of starting another business to coach and help to continue the passion of helping teachers. And it's like, I'm too old with it. Why don't you just relax? Why don't you just lay down, you know, all those thoughts. And in the book, she said, fear is really, the way I'm taking those thoughts is, don't do it. It's danger, something's wrong. And she provides the, well, what if this fear that you're feeling is really a sign that you need to do something different, and that you need to figure out the figure outable way of doing it rather than just stopping? Because what I do with fear is that false evidence appearing real, I just stop. And then I go on and find other thoughts to support what I'm doing. And with weight loss, it's like, my goodness, I'm 65. Why do I keep after losing those same 15 pounds? And because I want good health, I want to live, I want to have the energy to chase my grandson, to start this new business, and to be a part of this community, and to have sparkle and excitement and continue to contribute, and not just lay down on the couch and die. So that's how I think.
That's really great work because your brain just wanted to ask you all of those like not helpful questions, right? Like, why not just stop here? Why not, like, why do I keep working on these 15 pounds? Like, they're not even like, they're just like unhelpful questions. But now, like, you've learned, it sounds like, how to like continue the conversation and like redirect yourself to like what is helpful to you. Like, what are the reasons you are going to keep going? Like, why is it so important?
To challenge them. And I get that from Corinne, but I also got this from her book, that Fear Taming 101. And I think fear is a common emotion for most women.
Yeah. And how, like, it, like you said, it's not necessary.
Can you guys hear me? Because I think my AirPods are dying.
So yeah, hear you.
Okay, I'm just gonna make sure.
let me know if you can't. But how, like, fear isn't, like, necessarily a, it's not a reason to stop if you don't want to. Like, maybe it's a sign that you're, like, on the right path, because, like, how, what I've learned about fear, like, of course it's so scary, especially the way it feels in your body, but that's also, like, where all the amazing stuff happens, is when you're willing to feel a little scared or a little uncomfortable. It's a sign that you're doing
maybe that emotion is a opportunity to challenge that unconscious thought that has been rolling around for a long time and preventing me from having the weight loss that I want and even the life that I want, because I just stay stuck in looping fear. So I love that she addressed that.
What is the life that you're... Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Joni.
I was going to say, I love the idea of renaming fear and giving it just the silliest name. That was my favorite. And was this the book where she talked about Springsteen and how...
Yes.
Or was that a different... Okay.
I was agreed 100%, Joni. I was like, I was listening to what he was saying, and I was like, he's going to say stage fright. And instead it was excitement, and I know I'm ready to play. And it just blew my mind, because I'm like, yes, now when I have to go speak in front of a bunch of people, or I get to speak in front of a bunch of people at work, it's like, okay, now I know it's game on. You know, it's just a different mindset. I loved that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was one of my favorite parts, other than the big dramatic, like, airport story. Like, that I was just, like, hanging on to, like, what's going to happen. But I loved that, too. Like, isn't it fascinating that those two emotions, like, it feels exactly the same in your body, but just some people interpret it as I'm nervous, I'm scared, and some people interpret it as like, ooh, I'm excited, I'm ready to go.
I found a quote somewhere, and it may have even been from this book, that the difference between nervousness and excitement is breathing. Mm-hmm. Like taking deep breaths. That's all the difference is between being, like, really anxious and being really excited.
Yeah, I've heard it too described as, like, if you're nervous, it's like you think something might go wrong, and being excited is the exact same thing. You just think something might go, like, awesome. It might go great. It might be, like, you know, the only difference. Sometimes it's like one little shift to go from one to the other. It's like just about the same thing.
So one of the things that I wanted to just add, I don't know if you guys caught this, but in the book, they were talking about, you know, everything is figure outable, of course. Did you guys catch when she talked about her parents getting back together?
Yeah.
Wasn't that to me was the ultimate for her, because it made such her mother and father's divorce or separation. I'm not sure they got divorced, but that was a very impactful lesson in her life and how she paved her way. And then then she brought it back into, they eventually reconciled. And I thought, wow, for her, that was probably an ultimate figure outable.
Yeah. I had not put that together, but that's brilliant.
Mm-hmm. I just asked in the chat, like, you know, what's your favorite quote or passage from the book? Do you guys have one, like one that you read and it just, like, lit you up?
I loved her idea that beliefs can be changed. I don't know if it was an exact quote, but that, like, I don't participate in the religion that I grew up in, but, and just, like, for me, that is, like, the ultimate example of, yes, my beliefs can be changed.
For me, it was I will win, or I will learn, but I will never lose.
Yeah.
And that to me is just like, you just keep getting up. You just keep figuring it out.
Yeah. That one just makes me feel like it's a complete badass. Like, I never lose. I'm just
right.
Like, both of those are awesome. Isn't that true for our weight loss, right?
Yeah. For me, it was on page 179. I marked quite a few, but this is what my book opened up to. Starting small and sucky beats staying stucky. So I, because I'm in a transition, there's a new season coming. in my life and with beginning with Corinne and this community. And I'm a big thinker, very visionary, not real detail oriented. And starting small is better than staying stuck in the suck and not even starting at all. So that's a good thing for me. Well, I read the book for me, you know, to continue to move forward, continue to be open to signs that I'm heading in the right direction, because it is a new season. I'm ending a career and starting a new one, and I'm not used to starting small. So this is a good reminder that it's okay. You know, that old saying, like, how do you eat an elephant? You know, one bite at a time. So, of course, I don't know if that's such a good thing to say in a weight loss group, but.
It's a great thing to say, Lynn.
It is.
And you eat it one bite at a time as you're hungry.
Yeah, that's right. And you stop when you're full.
And it's on your doable plan. You plan for it.
I'm going to start putting the elephant. No.
Some of the quotes that. And you guys share if there were any other quotes or passages that you really liked. Becky said, when you change a belief, you change everything. Colleen said, there are two kinds of people in the world, those with reasons and those with results. That was a good one. And then Nicole says, she quoted Byron Katie on this quote, it's not your job to like me, it's mine. That's a good one. As he says, sometimes the weight you need to lose is not on your body. Yeah, awesome. Oh, Irene, you're 42% more likely to achieve your goals if you write them down. That one kind of reminded me of that. I know I've done that in the past, and I wasn't as consistent recently. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's important for a reason. And I know Corinne does that, too, with her goals. She's just always journaling on her goals and how she wants to show up for the day. And I've been doing that recently, and I'm like, that makes a difference. Just writing out, like, how do I want my day to go? How do I want to feel today? How do I want to show up? So. Awesome. Did you guys all get this this version of it? Because I know when it first came out, it was yes, yeah, it was that.
I have version. That version.
Yeah,
yeah, I have Lynn's version.
Lynn's version. So mm-hmm. Why do you, like, I don't know if you guys can see it, but why do you think she chose, like, they went with this cover, like this other.
I love that cover.
So why do you think they went with that cover?
I mean, because it's the starting story of the book about how mom figured out how to fix the radio. Yeah. I mean, that Tropicana radio.
Orange radio, yeah. Orange radio.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is, I'm like thinking, like, I thought it was like, I hadn't really looked at it before. I thought it was like just an orange. But I think it actually is like a little radio. Like, you can kind of see like where it can like unfold or whatever. So, yeah. But I like the other one too. They kept the same colors, it looks like. We just went with the story that she talked about. Her mom seems kind of like, yeah, kind of funny. Like, to me, it was like her mom just passed on this like life-changing wisdom that now like she's like, she wrote a whole book about and like became a bestseller. And probably for her mom, it was just like, yeah, what are you talking about? Like, it's just my thought. Like, everything is figure outable. Like, it's not even a question. But for her, for Marie, like, it just changed her life. And like, now, like, her whole like business and who she is as a person in the world is just based around this mantra. You know, I thought that was interesting. Like, I wonder where her mom got it from, or if it's something that she just learned in her life.
I think that a lot of moms innately have it, because there's so many things we have to figure out, right? I mean, like, that is, I would say that that's probably the best gift my mother ever gave me. Well, two is be kind to everyone, and not that she said everything is figure outable, but that's what she lives. And to me, that's the greatest life lesson I could ever get. And it's priceless. But I think a lot of moms figure out things that, you know, like, they figure out they have strength and courage more than they ever thought they could before they had their babies, right? So, you know, I think depending on what you learn, again, and Lynn, to, you know, you're talking about the new adventure you're taking, the skills that you're going to give teachers to give to their children, that's a legacy that you're definitely not too late to start. So I just wanted to send a kudo to you for sharing that passion.
That gave me chills. Thank you.
Yeah. We need more of it, Lynn.
Yeah. Was there anything about the book that surprised you guys?
Maybe the number of careers she had, like, and just, you know, well, and I think the thing that really surprised me was the athletic component of it, where she went the dance, because I can, you know, everybody loves to dance, you know, in their home, right? But going from dancing to something you like into making like good money out of it as a side job, I mean, I thought that that was very interesting, and just her diversity and just her willingness to, you know, like, I think she even talks about cleaning bathrooms, you know, public bathrooms or whatever, and doing whatever it took to get to take care of herself. I thought that that was pretty, I don't know that was surprising, but just her vulnerability to put it out there, I thought was very commendable.
I know in the book she talks about like three excuses, like either you say like, I don't have time, I don't have money, I don't know where to start. Which one do you think you guys use the most often? And like, what's the actual fear behind that excuse? You said, I don't have time, I don't have money, I don't know where to start.
My biggest one is the, I don't have money. I'm transitioning careers now, so you know the money is tight, but there's always a way. If it's a priority, there'll be a way.
Yeah.
And I had considered trying to go to life coach school, and I'm like, there's no way I can come up with that money right now to do that. And I realized I don't want to do it right now. So, you know, that seems like a good idea, but if I really wanted to, I would have found a way. And I don't want to bad enough.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's like when Corinne talks about the reticular activation system, mm-hmm. how telling yourself there's no way, your brain's just going to look for evidence of like why there's no way, you know? Mm-hmm. What about the rest of you?
For me, it was the time, and it's a funny, it made perfect sense how she laid out a plan of how to get more time, 2 hours a day. It's like, to me, it's like, okay, that seems almost impossible, but I'm going to go with it. But what's blocking me from doing what she suggests is it's going to take time to do what she wants me to do. And my head is telling me, but you don't have time. So that's kind of like, maybe that's a coachable moment, because my head is saying you don't have time to get more time to do what she wants, what she suggests to do, which is tracking your time for seven days and then taking an honest look at it. And I do want to do it, but that's my excuse. Well, I don't have time to track time.
Yeah. If you were to set that aside for a moment, how else would you be thinking about it? Like, if that excuse is not available, like, you cannot take
it. I'm full steam ahead. This is awesome. I would love two more hours a day to be creative and to be creative, to be in nature, to spend more time journaling, to spend more time painting, to spend more time talking to others. So yeah, if that excuse was out of the way, because I do believe looking at her system, it makes perfect sense and it's workable. And she's done it herself. I don't think she suggests things that she hasn't done herself.
Yeah. Yeah. And even like just realizing, like, you know, how you said, like, oh, I don't have enough time. Sometimes we say that, like, it's just an observation, it's just fact. Mm-hmm. It's still just our thought. Like, you know, it's, yeah. You don't know.
So if I would track, if I were willing to, or if I would just do it, I would see the truth. And maybe that's what it, I like truth. I like numbers. I like reality. So I'm going to do it. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to commit to everybody here. I'm going to do it. I'm going to track.
Do it, Lynn. You got this. You got this.
Yeah. And you know, we have a time management course, like under our, like, weight loss research, the self-study. So at some point, once you're done with your OBS, that might be worth taking that and seeing what Corinne's take is on time, because we all know she's like, no bullshit. So she'll give you the no bullshit.
Well, yeah, no bullshit would be really good. Thank you.
And I think if you even say, like, if you say, like, I don't have time to track your time, like maybe that's even more reason to, like, do that work.
Yeah, it is kind of a bullshit excuse when you think about it.
Yeah.
What about Corinne is brilliant on time management and visualization. You know, she has, just like us, the same amount of time. She has a family, she has the responsibilities, but she talks about setting that day intentionally. And if you all have listened to the, you know, the May, the 2.0, you know, she's telling us how to start, like, she's like, this is how you're going to do it. She walked you exactly through it so you can be extremely efficient. So to your question, Yazina, it's, you know, a place that I always do is, well, I don't know where to start. For this one, you know where to start. I mean, and I feel like Corinne's brilliant about that on so many levels. With the overview and everything else, she helps you set that intentionality, and it's just a great way to be very purposeful in your life and not go kind of unconscious.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's not even that we don't have enough time. It's just that we're wasting so much time and energy in, like, confusion, overwhelm, you know, anxiety or whatever. That's what it really is. So yeah, that's one thing that I kind of learned. It's not really time management. It's like mind management. It's really just managing your mind around your time. So Kristen said, what was Lynn's goal? I missed it. So what was your goal, Lynn? What's your goal?
Goal is to get to have 2 more hours a day. And the first step in that goal is to track what I'm doing with time now, being honest and looking at where I'm spending my time.
Yeah.
And sometimes, well, it is an unconscious thing, but also it's that perfection thing. Well, I don't want to really look at the fact that I'm on social media way too much, or that I'm watching Netflix way too much, or I'm in my head way too much. So as I say it out loud, and you're not kicking me off the group and no one's laughing at me in the chat, that helps with the willingness. So I think with my thoughts, it's just good to talk to another person, to get it out, say it out loud to another person.
Yeah. And go ahead and decide right now, like, me tracking my time and just seeing what's going on right now, like, that's not going to be a reason to, like, beat myself up. Just go ahead and decide right now.
Okay. Yeah.
Well, and to that, Lynn, because you love data, right? We're always supposed to put our scientist coat on, our lab coat. Mm-hmm. So all you're doing is you're looking at the data to evaluate where you can make, what is that, leveling up? You're not finding 2 hours at this moment. You're finding 30 minutes. Mm-hmm. And once you've found your 30 minutes, then you'll be willing to, at some point, make it an hour. And when you have enough momentum behind that, then you can decide what works for you. For our author, it was 2 hours, you know, and I think perfection is a dream stealer.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe your perfection for now is 30 minutes. And if that is, and if you need that, but for me, it's progress. It's always progress. And if I you know, this is, I've always wanted to be in a book club like my entire life. And this is, I mean, this may sound cheesy to you guys, but this is a dream come true for me. It's my first book club. It's my first opportunity to share with brave, smart women. And, you know, I got up 2 hours early while on vacation so I can make it happen. And thank you guys for letting me be a part of it.
Thank you for like, yeah, being here. You're just going to have to come back on again.
I already got my book for May.
Yeah. And that's going to be a really good one. I think we're going to get a lot out of that one. This one's like a lot of like inspirational, motivational and like mindset and stuff. But I really like Atomic Habits because it really gets more into like the weeds and like the actions and the habits and all of that. So that's gonna be a good one. Diane said, go ahead.
I was gonna say just real quick, at the end of the book, she talks about community and the sense of having relationships and investing time. I feel like No BS is one of the best communities and ways to help other women meet their goals, all the goals, not just the weight loss goals. Because if you can accomplish weight loss, you can accomplish anything. But, you know, kind of, I know we're getting close to the hour here, but I just want to remind everyone, community and helping support one another is one of the best figure outables, especially when we're all so distanced from one another, not just geographically, but with all the you know, virus stuff, like, even though things are opening up, we're all still being cautious. And this is a beautiful way to help make each other feel normal and even better than normal than before.
Yeah, I'm so glad you decided to say that because that is so true. And I think you'll see that James Clear like said something similar about the importance of community. So it's important for like your mindset and everything. And it's important for like, you know, like changing your habits. It's like joining a group who's doing it with you. You know. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Thank you so much. Did you guys have anything else that you wanted to share with regards to the book?
I wanted to share something about the book that it, you know, it made me think about weight loss, but it also made me think about, I mean, there, she has like the story of the book about the lady who helped end the war.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, wow, maybe I should be thinking about some other goals and like, you know, weight loss can't be my only goal. I don't know. It just made me think like, what am I contributing and what could some bigger goals be or what do I really want in my life? I don't know.
The only thing I would offer is like, maybe instead of saying like, you know, I should be doing, like, maybe it's like, I want to.
Yeah, yeah.
It sounds like you really want to, like, it made you kind of think about that. Like, what else do you want for your life? Like, your weight loss, that's an amazing thing. That in and of itself is amazing. It's incredible. It's enough. And it sounds like you also, like, maybe are open now to doing, like, other things, contributing in other ways. Like, now that you've, like, worked on yourself, that's the number one thing. And now, like, maybe you want to do, like, other things. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Diane was saying in the comments, like another common excuse, I think is like the, and I don't want to, like, I'm never going to want to, or I don't feel like it. I feel like that's another common one, especially like in OBS, like, oh, well, I don't really feel like it or whatever, but that's another one. Like maybe you just don't even have to feel like it. Like that's not a requirement, right? Like sometimes we think we have to be like motivated or excited all the time. And like, that's not necessarily the case either. Sometimes all you have to do is maybe feel willing or feel committed or feel determined because it's figure outable, right? It's figure outable.
This was the best part of the book for me is that, and I'm one of those people that can't stand not knowing the ending. So I'll read the end of a book and then it helps me to relax and I can finish it because it's, I know that's a true confession. But I think everyone has a gift. Everyone has a message. Everyone has something to give to the world and to a community and to others. And I liked in her chapter 10, where she talks about the world needs your special gifts and working and working through that mindset. I mean, it's really easy to say if you're a doctor or a nurse or a teacher, it's like, yeah, that's, you know, we need you. But everyone has something they can contribute to the world. Everyone has a gift. And I like reading that chapter first because it helps you. I think it helps you to define what your gift and that there's a possibility that, oh, you know what, that is possible. And then to go back and do the actionable steps to reach that possibility. So that's probably my favorite chapter, is chapter 10.
Yeah. We'll end with this last question that Kristen has. Maybe we can all just go around and answer it. So Kristen asks, what's one action item that you're taking away from this book? And it could apply to your weight loss or anything. Lynn, it sounds like you're going to do the time thing, right? The time management thing.
Yeah, and also to train your brain for growth. And Corinne talks about this. Instead of saying, and this is a very common thing in educators and staff meetings of professional development, I know this already. Why are we in this meeting and we can get this? I know this already. And principals do the same thing. But instead of saying that, she goes, why don't you ask yourself, what can I learn from this? And I tell myself that what is one, even if it's just one thing I can take from this. So rather than having that closed mindset, having an open mindset is what can I learn from this? Yeah. So that was my favorite actionable step.
Yeah, what can I learn from this? And that applies to like when your mind wants to go to the tutor, when you step on the scale for the week, or in any situation.
Yeah, yeah.
What about you guys?
Mine is the hype file idea. The idea of keeping a hype file, I love that. I haven't started it yet, but I am going to. Yeah. Well, and now y'all know that, so I definitely have to.
Yeah. Who else? What's your number one action item?
I really want to do the one, I think it's right at the end, but this is a downside of listening to it on Audible, is that you don't have then like the questions, but like the exercise where she said, like, pretend like you're 100 years old and you're looking back on your life and like, these are the things I loved, or she had like all these prompts and like just really clear in mind. And it made me think of like Corinne's idea of like imagining your future self, but in this way, it's kind of like looking back. And I really want to sit down and do that. Yeah.
That's the one that I did. And I will tell you, it's amazing. But I didn't do 100. I just did 10 years from now. And just, you know, it was very emotional for me. And I would definitely recommend that one. It's one of the best gifts you can give yourself.
Say it again, Alexandra. So what was it? Just for some, if anybody missed it.
I think it's at the very end, and it's where she's saying, imagine yourself at the end of your life and write a letter to yourself. And she has a whole bunch of prompts, and it's like, this is what I loved doing. These are the things, I don't know, maybe Michelle can remember some of them, because I didn't read it. I don't have the list.
It's 252. So right around there. So anybody wants to look that up? Let me see. It's on my page 252. Yeah, it's on page 252. So maybe, yeah, around that page. So that's great. I love that. I'm going to have to try that one.
Well, and maybe if you wouldn't mind showing can you show the picture real quick, so then maybe Alexandria can get the question, since she had it on Audible. I know that if you go onto Audible onto a computer, you can get the questions that are out there, Alexandria. But if not, you know, maybe we can just show the picture real quick. I don't know if some way to make it easy for you.
Yeah, I'll share a picture of this page on the Facebook group.
That'd be great.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for coming on here and contributing. This is a great discussion, and thank you to everyone in the comments. And I'll see you guys next month for Atomic Habits. And I think somebody was saying in the comments, there's like, if you sign up for his email list, there's like this 30-day habit thing you can do. So that's another possibility. But you guys have the study guide. And then, yeah, we'll come back at the end of the month to discuss that one. That's going to be a really good one. So. All right. And then welcome. Welcome to Lynn and Michelle. We're so happy to have you.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Great. Thank you.